listener production.
A massive Anzac Day edition of the Footy Talk podcast. Heeshaw in studio as always, talking all things Fat Camp Boy stuff. Also, Toby Green, is there a tax? Plus, we preview the two big Anzac Day clashes, the Pies and the Bombers from the MCG and the Giants and Brisbane from the nation's capital. This is coming up. Get yourselves comfy. Footy Talk podcast. Hello and welcome to Footy Talk for your Thursday. As always, in studio to discuss the biggest issues in the game, my good mate Heeshaw. Heeshaw, welcome.
Thanks, mate. Thank you for having me. It's exciting. You know why?
Why?
Because it's a day off.
Day off.
And it's a good day off. Anzac Day is a big day.
It is a big day. We will get to that in the second break. We have to go backwards a little bit first. Abbie Holmes and Jack Heverin talked about this yesterday. I'm very keen to get your views on two topics. The first one being Toby Green.
Yep.
Gets a week for a footballing action.
It's because he's not a good bloke. Didn't we figure that out last week? With Charlie Cameron's a good bloke and no one else is.
Toby is a ripping bloke. He just doesn't have the cleanest.
Jesse Hogan's an okay bloke because he got off. He got a week and then he got off. And then Tom Barassa's no good either.
What about the Toby one though? Is there now, we see Peter Wright get done and he had a lot more time to make a decision whether to commit or not. Toby for mine was line ball. Like it is 2 centimetres off missing the hands and then hitting him in the chest. And if that happens, he's off. Are we, one, asking too much of players? Two, is there room for common sense?
Oh, there's no room for common sense when it comes to the AFL tribunal. But the thing is, if it continues along this path, you're taking away the fact of that you've got competitive beasts like Toby and key forwards like Peter Wright who have people stand in the hole in front of them because that's what you do as a defender. So that would be, in this case and going forward, it would be if there's someone sitting in the hole, then you actually have to stop and you can't actually make body contact with them because just in case you do accidentally hit them in the head, they do get concussed or they don't, you miss weeks.
What do you reckon Adam Kingsley is saying to Toby? Is he saying, mate, we actually need you to change the way you play? Or is he just going to go, you do you, and if every 6 weeks one of these pops up, if it's once a season, we just cop it?
Oh, he wouldn't be telling Toby to change anything and the way he goes about it because that's what's made him the player he is and the competitor that he is, and that's why like he's captain of that footy club. And that action, if he stops, lets a guy who's sort of going back with the flight, if he stops and lets him mark it or and then just puts his hand out, lets him mark it, if you're Adam Kingsley, you're probably questioning – like his dedication to the team or his mindset in that regard. So for me, no, it's going to continue on for the rest of the year, these sort of actions. And the worst thing is we talk about every single week, we talk about the tribunal and we talk about concussion and we talk about Harley Reid. I like one of those three topics I actually like and the other two I don't.
And do we need to accept as the viewing public and in the media and watching along as fans that it is to the point now, as you just said, that you, as you watch the game, you expect Toby Green now just to stop and put his hands out and go, you know what, I'm not risking getting involved in this collision whatsoever.
Imagine the commentators.
Oh, I know, but is that the realisation that we need to get to? Is this the spot that the game's going where we just go, that's fair? Once upon a time, yes?
I think, well, yeah.
Back in my day.
Probably going to get to that point. Yeah, but not, I'm not that old yet. I've got to get over 50 before you start staying back in my day. But even like you see like Rochelle last week, like he went back with the fly. There was a couple of contests that weren't, like didn't look that great and he was sort of put out there in the public about that wasn't good enough. And then if you're flipping it and you're saying this guy's coming back with the fly and he's just got an easy chest mark or easy mark and that he's knowing that the forwards aren't going to just absolutely crunch him, it doesn't help the game and it doesn't help the players because they're still second-guessing themselves. And that's the reason why you have these situations. They're second-guessing themselves and some people make the right decision, some people make the wrong decision, some of it's grey. There's a lot of grey.
There's never been a better time to be a non-courageous player and have the ability to just go back with the flight and not have any concerns.
Yeah.
The game definitely is riddled with blokes who would do it complicitly.
Yeah.
And there's blokes who would go front and centre and have trip over or whatever it had to be or give the frightened turtle
that's
weekend.
When you figure out how old you are. If you're a young guy, then you do go back with the flight. If you get a bit older, you get a bit smarter. But yeah, it's so grey and like The AFL actually don't have any answers, which is the worst thing, because it's so inconsistent week on week. And now we've got the good bloke rule in there, so it's make it even harder.
Well, unfortunately for the Giants, that means they will be out Toby Green for the big clash against the Brisbane Lions in the nation's capital coming up later this evening. We will touch on that, as I said, after we work through a little bit of newsy stuff. The other one, and it's just so relevant. One, you're in here because of Toby Green, your ex-teammate, but two, you were once publicly shamed by the Herald Sun for being fat. On the back page of the paper, I think I still have it somewhere in my phone, for being in, apparently your skin folds were too high, Nathan Buckley under his regime. Now they are banning skin folds through elite talent pathways. And I use that word again, elite talent pathways.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one, because 90% of my anxiety when I was playing AFL wasn't in the lead up to a game and how nervous I was. It was about doing skin folds when you come back from pre-season, or once a month when you had to get them checked again.
And just for anyone listening, that isn't a piss take.
No, that's
that was fair dinkum. I was the same coming back with the DEXA scans. It is an anxiety-inducing part of the game.
Yeah, because some people are a little bit chunkier than others whilst playing. And it is genetic, which is another part of it. And the fact is, like you said, elite talent pathways. We're supposed to be, we're the elite. And to be like a professional athlete, you have to be professional in all aspects of that, which include your diet. Some of us weren't, e.g. me.
This is,
It doesn't impact the way you play football, but the fact that we're taking that away because someone might get a little bit upset is not really elite then. They have to take that part out of that elite.
Just a pathway program.
It's a pathway, yeah.
I think if you're doing and you want to be an AFL footballer, I think there should be some understanding that that is part of the job. You have to present in the best possible condition. Yes, we were the ones who got slightly anxious about it, but that's probably more so that when you have 20 beers a day over your 12-day break, there's a fair chance that you might have a little bit of put in the middle of...
You're doing the wrong thing.
You're doing the wrong thing. Yeah. If it is to be an elite pathway, you want to demonstrate in your best way possible to the clubs that you are committed, you are keen, and there's going to be exceptions to the rule. Paddy Cripps, when he started, he had, as he quote, a bit thick around the gills.
Same as Tom Green. Yeah, he was exactly the same. He was just a big boy, a little bit of puppy fat, and they just transformed that in pretty much 18 months into just pure muscle.
But if he got the skin folds done, and imagine if that's putting clubs off, is that fair?
But even the weight, we don't even put the weight anymore. It's like, what has that got to do with anything?
Well, it
doesn't.
Unfortunately for me, in my job, it makes it harder to then say, oh, there's a big discrepancy. He was the ruckman at 105 against a...
You don't
small
know.
Fella at 85.
I tell you what, going back to what we were just previously talking about, the AFL are focusing on the wrong things here. They got more important things to worry about than skin folds and weight. They got to worry about fixing up the back end of the tribunal system and a couple other rules as well.
What are your thoughts on the goal line review?
Nah.
Is it ruining the game?
It's one or the other. Get rid of umpires, goal umpires completely.
AI?
Yeah.
Robots?
Or get rid of the goal line technology, because at some point you just got to leave it. And if someone makes a mistake, that's okay. That's the good thing about our game, because if everyone was perfect in our game, you know how boring it would be to watch?
Yes, very.
No one to miss a kick, no one to miss a goal.
That's the beauty of the game. It's unpredictable.
So no one to fumble.
The ball indicates that it can go any which way when
exactly.
It's in the air.
So that's a good bit about our game. So now we're just saying, all right, we have to get this right, and we still don't get it right, but we're going to stick with it. And now the umpires are second-guessing themselves, so they're always reviewing it, slowing down the game. No one wants that.
The thing that annoys me is you can go to the tennis and the blokes hit the ball at 200 k's an hour down the middle and you can instantly be shown where the ball hit. Why don't we have technology that if it hits a post, a signal sent to the arc, and if the umpire has any doubt, go, no, it's a spike, or if he gives it a goal, go, no, it hit.
I've got no idea. We landed on the moon, but we can't figure out if the ball touches a pole.
And if whatever side of the pole it goes.
Or if it touched a finger.
Surely in terms of like sensors and...
Hotspot.
Anything.
It's...
Photo finishes. You can have a horse going 65 clicks an hour and you can get within the millimetre of where that finished on the line.
Yeah, you can get goal line technology from soccer, Snicko from cricket.
Hotspot as well.
Hotspot from cricket, and then photo from racing, and then you've solved the problem. Like, just combine that that technology? Or did we just come up with a really good idea?
I think we might have just solved all the AFL problems. Anything else you need to get off your chest before we go into full game mode after this?
No, that's about it.
That is about
it.
I've had
a bit of a crack at the AFL. That's enough for me.
Okay, well, they are officially on notice from you and I on a Thursday. Hang around. Coming up next, Heater and I look forward to the big game this afternoon between the Pies and the Bombers, and we will also touch on the Giants and Brisbane from the nation's capital. This is all coming up next on the Footy Talk podcast. You are listening to the Footy Talk podcast. If you're on Spotify and you're enjoying anything we're talking about or any of the other episodes, would you please hit the bell to be notified when a new episode drops? Heater, this is the biggest day outside of finals on the footballing calendar. It is the most watched game, the envy of clubs who aren't in the day, and for players, you understand the responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah, it is an amazing game, amazing atmosphere, and you're spot on. Like, teams that aren't involved in it are jealous of the fact that Collingwood get to play Essendon, and they always want to change it every year. They want to mix it up. Let's mix it up. Let's give someone else a go.
Wait till that discussion fires up.
Yeah, it'll fire up at some point again. But like, both clubs understand the significance of the game, of the day, and always rise to the occasion. There has been a couple of blowouts, but nothing like too outrageous. And I think this game is one of the hardest ones to tip as well, because both teams were one back on track and one going along all right. A couple of players back from suspension and injury. So that's nearly full lists going into Anzac Day. And I think there'd be a few people that have got their fingers and toes crossed that they're actually going to get a game.
What about your first Anzac Day? What year are we talking?
2008 or 2009. Yeah, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were a late bloomer.
Yeah, I was.
Did Mick take you along to any of the shrine?
Yeah.
Do you remember anything of the historical part of the day that we paid tribute to and went into in a lot more depth?
Yeah, the first couple of years we went to the shrine. I think it was the first and second year players went to the shrine during the week and got like a little private tour. And then the first and second year boys were made to go the morning of as well.
The dawn service. One of the most moving services going around.
Yeah.
Very eerie.
It is. Yeah. Well, it's just as eerie as the last post during the game, or the start of the game. So it is, and Mick loved his war.
He did.
He loved talking about war and mateship and what you would do for the guy standing next to you. And so Anzac Day was his time to shine. And some of the best speeches he ever said were on Anzac Day. And if you can't get yourself up for Anzac Day, there's definitely something wrong with you.
There certainly is. I look forward to the clash this afternoon, because if it stays like it has been this morning, a little bit of rain precipitation about, a real opportunity for this to be the old school hard fought, head in the hole type operation.
Mark
McGough. Oh, yeah. Maybe not that wet. Just somewhere in between that and a sunny day. So it is the contested footy style. Are the Bombers back? They got smacked by Port Adelaide. They come out, they have a good win against the Bulldogs, and then fall in against Adelaide on the weekend. Fall in being the operative word after Sam Draper tried to hatch the footy.
I get it.
Are they back?
Oh, they're going better than they were at the start.
Are you concerned that today they might get shown up?
Well, to be honest, I went to the game Collingwood playing Port last week, and Collingwood did not start very well.
Quarter time, you're sitting there going, oh boy.
Yeah, it was a bit quiet in the crowd. but then they found a way, and then they found their mojo, and then they found their rhythm, and they just looked like a different, totally different team in a class above. So I think the Pies have definitely found their mojo. The Bombers are still trying to figure out what their mojo is, but the improvement is there, and I think Brad Scott will have them humming. And I think the first five is going to be on. Ooh. And it will be great watching, great viewing, and hopefully it's just a close game, because in these sort of occasions, in these sort of games, even the grand final last year, it was such a good game. And it ended up being such a close game, which made it so much better. And I think, obviously, Pies on the right end of that one was a good result. But it makes for the occasion. It gives that extra boost.
Sam Durham has been tagging, doing shutdown, close down roles. Does he go straight to Nick Dacos and sit in his pocket and just say, I don't care if you have 30, but I'm going to be next to you every one of them?
And make it. not effective.
And make it.
Because he will get the ball, Nick Daigos, there's no doubt about that.
Are you doing that? If you're Brad Scott, yeah, you sit there going, we need to take away a weapon?
100%. I never really listened to anything my old man said, but he always said you need one tagger in your team, because if he can nullify the best player of the opposition by 25%, 20-25%, that goes a long way to you winning the game. So take away his ability to win the ball, the tagger. He's just playing that role for the team 100%. You'd go to him.
Okay. I am looking forward to also Bobby Hill. The form he's in, he had 4 direct goal assists on the weekend. For a small forward, and I played it for a lot of my career, you're meant to be selfish. You don't pass the ball off. You get it, you see big sticks, and then at the end of it, if you miss, you put your hand up and say, sorry, I didn't see the 4 blokes at the top of the goal square doing cartwheels.
Yeah, the old acting classes. Yeah, we get those ones.
He was unbelievable. I reckon today is the day that, you know, when you do, you give to others and then eventually the world gives it back. I think today he might kick a bag. I'm talking handfuls. Day. Yeah.
Similar.
Something to that.
Well, and that's the thing, he's involved. He's been involved, not necessarily kicking all the goals. So sometimes
who's the matchup though? Does McGrath go to him? McGrath's a ball player. He'll get caught out watching.
Yeah, and then Bobby will slide out the back, and there he is, Mark Gull.
And you're not going to lay a glove on him?
No, he's quick. Don't worry about that. But big game player.
Righto. Give me a winner, why, and a Anzac Day medalist.
Collingwood, 13 points. They got the mojo back. The skill level last week was a lot better than it had been the previous 4. So I think they'll be able to slice through them. And defensively, they played a lot better last week as well, Collingwood. So after quarter time, obviously. Mm. The Pies will get over, just pure class.
Anzac Day medalist?
Ooh.
What about, while you're having a think, our old mate Pendles, about to break the record for most possessions, the first player to get to 10,000.
Yeah, that's a big effort, eh?
And what about this? You'll like this. I know you like it when I bring numbers. Of the breakdown of those 10,000, 5,000 have been handballs, 4,996 have been kicks. It's incredible. If he has 4 kicks to start the game, his breakdown is exactly bipty-bipty.
Someone's got to tell him. Surely he'll know.
Someone's got to tell him. Yeah. He's counted every one of them.
Yeah, that's true. He actually wants a camp back. He reckons he's already got 10,000.
Ineffective kick. Yeah. Smother.
That's a lie. Definitely handballed that one. It's a massive effort. So he's number one. That'll be number one for him ever.
Yeah.
Which is, if you're number one ever for a competition like this, it's a huge achievement. But he won't win the Anzac Day medal.
Play better in these games, though.
Jordan DeGoey will.
Good luck to everyone involved. The next game is the Giants taking on the Brisbane. We won't go into such a deep dive on that one. What's happening and why? Giants, very, very good. Blues exposed them. No Sam Taylor, a big issue. We saw Charlie and Harry get off the leash. Is it going to be same again with Eric and Big Joe?
Yeah, it's going to be tough for the Giants with some quality players out. Luckily, Hogan got off, so there's one coming, the Hoagie Bear. But Toby out, Sam Taylor out, Cogs out. It's a quality, and you need Sam Taylor there because he does settle them down back. It was Kerno, it was Mackay, and it was De Koning. Second 3 goals half. Each. There's 9 goals. Take one of those out, which Sam would, and help everyone else. It goes a long way to them winning. So I think the Lions will just get over the line. I hope, the heart says Giants, but head says Brisbane, because their firepower up forward is pretty bloody good.
Brisbane have to win. This is season on the line.
I said that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, and then they did. They beat Melbourne, then they went up to against the Cats in suboptimal conditions and didn't fire a shot.
Mm. So if they lose this, is it?
The line you drew through them 3 weeks ago, you can get it out in Sharpie this time.
Yeah,
because it was cement it through.
Because it's a long way back.
It is.
So it's going to be a good game. I think I played one game on Anzac Day night at the Giants in Canberra against Gold Coast, which was it was a great occasion in the nation's capital. And yeah, hopefully the Giants win, but I think Brisbane will just have too many class players.
I'm in a similar boat there. Hey, if you are walking around today and you see any of the diggers selling any of the Anzac Day appeal pins and or anything else, please, if you're in a position, make a donation. It has become now onto the younger generation to continue the legacy of the Anzacs, with a lot of them from years past obviously not being with us anymore. Heater, thank you so much for your contribution today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Go Pies, go Giants. But we think Brisbane may be winning that one. This has been the Footy Talk podcast for your Thursday. Have yourselves a wonderful Anzac Day. We'll be back next week with plenty more. Listener.